All right. We are in the Tur Beis Yosef, Kufayin Tes Sifei. So this is that question that we raised a couple of weeks ago, which I still don't have an answer for, and that is the Rambam's description that all of the things about superstitions and all that stuff is really fake. And if you believe it, so you're a fool. But on the other hand, he does seem to make the distinction between if you really do it and if you're just doing... you're tricking people with your sleight of hand things. So here we have a sugya where the Rambam totally interprets as being fake. So what are we talking
about? Excuse me, what the Rambam says, if it's fake, you have to worry about it if you're doing it? Or?
No. So here the Rambam is saying, if you do it, if you're doing the sleight of hand, we'll see what it is. It's here we're talking about incantations. If you're doing it, so obviously it means nothing, but if you're going and doing it, so that's what the Torah means. The Torah didn't ask for you actually doing it. That's impossible. The Torah did, according to the Rambam, what the Torah asked you was from faking it. Or making it appear as if you're doing it. So that's where we got it. So if you take a look at the tour Kufayin Tes Sifei. So chover that you've gathered together. What does that mean? So zehu sha'al yidei lachash mekabitz chayos bein gedolim bein katanim. Based on your speech, you're able to gather animals, whether large or small. And even snakes and scorpions, yitushim are gnats and parushim, some other small thing. So kasav Rambam. So then it goes to Rambam explicitly. Chover ish midaber dvarim she'inan b'lashonam, that he's speaking something that's not in a regular language. Ve'in lahem inyan ulamal al daito b'sichluso, and doesn't have any idea, and it's above anyone's knowledge. Right? She'omer kach v'kach al hanachash ve'la akrav she'inu mazik, and he says that if you say so and such and such to a snake or a scorpion, it's not going to damage.
I think ulamal al daito means he imagines. He thinks.
He believes, or at least he wants to make you believe that he believes that doing these kinds of things, that it's not going to cause any, he could put a spell on these animals that's not going to cause any damage.
Well, it's prevent them from causing damage.
They're not going to cause. You're going to be able to keep them from causing any damage. Yes. And if you say such and such about a person, also it's not going to cause any damage to him.
Yeah.
So if he waves his hand when he speaks and he's got some kind of key to the house or a cella or a coin, so that's usher. All that is usher to do. So the person who does it is gets makos. I mean, he does those two things. He does the incantation and he waves the coin or key. So then he gets malchus. Va'adam shachover omer alav kolos v'yoshi lefanov u'medamish yeshel behen hana makanaso makas mardus. And then the incantationee, the guy on the bottom, so he's gonna get makas mardus for participating in such a thing because he involved himself with foolishness of that person. Fine. So where is the Rambam basing this on? So what is the Rambam? The Torah is quoting the Rambam, and he seems to be saying that there's no truth to this stuff. It's just that if you go ahead and take part in these activities, so that's the Isser Doraisa. That's what you violated. So where does he get that from? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it's quoted in the Beis Yosef, and hey, so Perek Arba Misos, Tana Rabban, Chover Chever Echad Chover Gadlov Echad Chover Katan, whether you do with large animals or small animals, a field of the Chashem Akra, you mistakes and scorpions, Amar Rabbi Haiman Ditzamid Ziboris Veakrava. And this is one who even joins together a bee and a scorpion. I mean, he gets the scorpion and the bee to get into a fight. Why would he be doing such a thing? His kavana was so that they don't go ahead and damage. So even if he goes ahead and does that, so that's usher. So Peirush Rashi, Echad Chaver Gadol, meaning he gathers big animals, Chaver Katan, he gathers small animals, and even snakes and scorpions. Legrosan Zebeze Olamakum Midbar Shelo Yimtzu Biyishu Viyaziku. That why is he moving these animals? So he's moving them in order so that they're not going to cause any damage. So if you just read the Gemara and just read Rashi and weren't influenced by the Rambam, so how would you understand this Gemara? It's talking about using incantations to get these animals to do what you want them to do. It sounds like it's the real thing. And it's the Rambam who says that it is the fake thing, that it's impossible, these things are foolish, all this is frivolous, and it can't be that it's true. We'll do the Vav as well, a similar idea. They're quoted together in the Gemara, and even adds in a little bit more. So, Misha Nashu Nachash and Vav, the Torah, I'm back in the Torah now. If you got snake bit, the Akrav, or the scorpion bit, such things do happen. Scorpion bites. Yes, I've met plenty of people that got bit by scorpions. Right? But I've met people that got. Our gardener in Phoenix told me that he got bit by a rattlesnake. I was like, wow. It's like, what'd you do? So I ran and I jumped into the bush and got it, because he wanted to get the snake so he could bring it to the hospital to get the antidote or something. It's like, oh my gosh, you are a better man than I. So you're allowed to do these incantations even on Shabbos. So as we've gone from in Hay saying you're usher to do these things because it's in order to protect yourself from being damaged. If you're already bitten, you're allowed to do it. And then he adds in, and even on Shabbos. So what are you adding by saying even on Shabbos? Right? So one more, so a little bit more. B'chasa Rambam afa b'yishayin adavar mo'el klum, even though it doesn't mean anything, hol v'musukan hu hetiru kadei shelo titrif daito. Even though it doesn't mean anything, so right, the Rambam is stuck now. Why are you doing these incantations on Shabbos if it doesn't mean anything? The Rambam says, well, it doesn't really mean anything, but it's a placebo effect. Right? The guy's going to feel better if you're doing something to these, if the guy's yelling at the snake bite. So therefore you're going to be okay. Now, it is unclear, however, from the Gemara what exactly this Gemara is describing. If you look in the Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef says in Perek Chelek, Lochshim Lachishas Nechashim V'akravim B'Shabbos. So you're allowed to, and how do we translate that? Lochshim is. Oh, good, you're here. We've got a big time grunt tonight. Right, if you whisper, you're reciting these incantations to the snakes and scorpions. So why are you doing that? So Rashi is saying that you're preventing them from causing injury. I mean, you're keeping them from climbing on you. That's actually what's going on. In the previous one, they're not really a danger. You're just trying to herd them away. But if it actually is a danger and you yell these things at the scorpions in order to get them away, so that's going to be okay. Why would that be a problem? So if we continue on and continue on the Beis Yosef, so all right, so you're allowed to do it because there's a clear and present danger of being bitten by a poisonous snake. Snake and a scorpion is considered Sakanas Nefashos, even though.
Wouldn't that imply that it does work? That you're allowed to do these incantations? Because if there's a Sakana, doesn't that imply that it does work?
Well, we already read the Torah, we spilled the beans a little bit. The Torah said, well, it's not really, it doesn't really work, you're just making the guy feel better. Oh. That's what the Rambam is saying.
Keeps the guy from going nuts.
The Beis Yosef as well seems to only quote the Rambam. The Umash Hutzuchu Lahatir Zeh B'Shabbos. The reason we permit it on Shabbos, Haynu Mishum Da Asur Laharbos B'Sicha B'Shabbos. Right? Why? What would be the problem? Why would there be a specific problem on Shabbos? Well, because there's a problem of having extra Sicha on Shabbos. Right? You're talking. This is not the appropriate speech to have on Shabbos. Shabbos is supposed to be devoted to. Shabbos dick talk, and this is not Shabbos dick talk. That here, in the case of place of danger, it's going to be permissible. Now that's a quote from the Rambam. So the first issue to deal with, and the question is raised by the Minchas Chinuch, although I didn't see him actually answer this question, is if it's mutter because of Sakanas Nefashos, I've already said that it's mutter, right? So why would I even have Havamina be a problem on Shabbos? Well, once I'm mattering it already, so Shabbos shouldn't be. I'm mattering it for the same reason that I would matter on Shabbos. It's an Isser, so why would I think that there would be any problem with doing it on Shabbos that we have to come and give this extra permissibility? Now, that's A. Fine.
That works out well with the Rambam. Because she says it doesn't help anyway. It
doesn't help anyway, so I might have thought that maybe there's an extra reason on Shabbos not to. Fine, okay, maybe.
It seems like there's two different kinds of whispering. Is to keep the snakes away, And the second case is he's already been bitten.
So that's the Rambam's read of the Gemara.
Oh, that's okay.
Right? That's a bit of... And the Beis Yosef is somewhat pulling a fast one here. Okay. Plus the Rashi on the page gives a different explanation of the Gemara. The Rambam's read is that the first case is these things are attacking you, so you say these things to send them away. That you're not allowed to do. That's ridiculous. But if you already are bitten, you're allowed to start invoking these incantations, because even though really we know that... Us wise people that read the Rambam know that this doesn't really mean anything, but to the guy who gets bitten, it will be meaningful to him and it will help him out, and therefore it's permissible, and it's even permissible to do on Shabbos, despite the fact that it's not Shabbistic talk. Okay, that I think is the read according to the Rambam. Rashi on that Gemara doesn't say that it has to do with an animal that was a person who was already bitten, rather it's talking about warding them off, keeping them away. So what's the concern? Bishvil shelo yaziku, so that they don't cause them. Rashi says, "Ve'ein bekach mishum tzeda," and the problem is because, and you don't have to worry about tzeda. What's Rashi's havamina? The havamina was that I might have thought that warding these animals off is a form of trapping them. You're doing something to keep them away, but you're doing. You're doing something to keep them away, and that might be a form of tzedah. So kamashmul, and it's not. Now, I mean, it's a bit of a stretch to say that's any form of tzedah. I mean, if you yell at an animal to tell it to go away, so that is discussed. If an animal is totally obedient to you, maybe there's some sort of tzedah if you yell it out. But anyways, that's what that's the machlokas Rashi and
Tosfos. That would only apply to what?
Rashi and Rambam. What?
Wouldn't apply to your dog.
Why wouldn't apply to your dog?
No,
there is tzedah by your dog.
If I tell my dog to go fetch, that's not allowed.
When do you have a dog?
I don't
know. if you tell a dog to go fetch, is there any chashash of tzedah? I don't believe so. I remember looking at this a couple of weeks ago.
I think it would be a wild animal. That's what people usually trap. People usually trap pets.
No, but trapping a pet is a problem. So, for example, I go to someone's house and...
They have to put them in a good room or something.
Hmm?
They have to put them.
Right, and they will need to put them in a room, so that is a real possible issue of saying, yeah.
All right, no more invitations to anybody has a dog.
Yeah. So... but also it depends on how big a room and whether the dog is really not happy there. It's not so simple, but yes, the idea that dog really wants to get out and the dog is about to run out and you slam the door before the dog can get out, that is a chashash of tzedah. But anyways, back over here. The Rashi has a totally different read of the Gemara. Rashi understands that this is a real thing that you're doing, so you can't do it in order to just ward them off, plus it's not really so dangerous. But if it really is dangerous, it's about to attack you, you could use these incantations to get them away. Why? Because that's an issue of Sakanas Nefashos. So that's there are two very different reads on the Gemara. So the Beis Yosef, as we saw, seems to only quote the Rambam. Why doesn't the Rambam now? Why doesn't he quote Rashi? So the truth is he does, but not in Hilchos Kosim Umaoneinu Umanachish. He quotes it in Arachayim. In Arachayim, he quotes the same Gemara. In Hilchos Shabbos, he quotes the same in Siman Shin Chav Ches Sif Mem Hei. He quotes the same Gemara and quotes it in the name of Rashi. He quotes and uses Rashi's read in order to understand the Gemara. Shin Chav Ches Mem Hei reads in the Shulchan Aruch, Lo Chashim Al Chashim Akram Bishvil Shlo Yaziku VeMekach Mishum Tzeda, that you can use these incantations to keep the snake and the scorpions away so that they don't damage you, and you don't have to worry about Sud. No discussion of, and do you have to worry about the incantations? Because it would sound like here, that should be Aser. All right, we'll see in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch, he reads like the Rambam. So I didn't see anybody discuss this issue. I mean, it seems to have a stira in Shulchan Aruch, Shin Chav Ches Sif Mem Hei, versus Yerodeya Kufayin Tes Sif Hei, how to understand this Gemara. I don't see a resolution to that.
It's probably the Rambam, right?
Hmm?
This whole thing with Sikha is probably the
yes.
Word. So it would be
yes. Using words is the say that's being discussed here would not be deraisa. That would not be derabanan. Be using an animal, getting an animal to stay away by way of words. Probably isn't saying that because they don't necessarily. Even if you assume that it is an incantation, I would assume that that's lav derech tzeda. I don't think you can really slap a deraisa on that. Okay, so let's go into the Shulchan Aruch. In the Shulchan Aruch, as you'll see, he reads, according to the Rambam's reading of the Shulchan Aruch, and that's what gets the Vilna Gaon so upset. So the Shulchan Aruch in Kufayin Tes Sif Hei says, Chover Chever, incantations, Zeu Shayidei Lachash, Mekabitz Chayis Menachashim, Bakravim, Yitushim, Uparushim. By way of your mouth, you're able to gather the animals, the snakes, scorpions, gnats, and other animal. The Shach comments on this, Zion, v'afagav, the mechavin shalei aziku, even though your kavan is only that they don't damage, mechavin l'makom in midbar, just to get them out of there, shaleihim sabiyisha v'yizriku aser, just to get it out, that's still considered aser. And that sounds like that's a read from the Gemara, that's what he quotes. Fine. The next one, however, is Mishinashu Akrav Mutter Lucho Shalav, that if you are bitten by it, you're allowed to do these incantations. Vafilu b'Shabbos, even on Shabbos. Vafel Pishena Davar Moel Klum, and even though it's not meaningful, Hola Musukanhu, because the person is in danger, Hitiru Kedeshalo Titarif Daito Allah, it's going to be permissible because we don't want him to lose his mind over it. Right? That's not what it says in Hilchos Shabbos. In Hilchos Shabbos, he says the reason that you're allowed to use your incantations to get the animals to stay away. Doesn't say anything about not being meaningful. That does come up in other aspects, which I think we'll get to next week. The idea of amulets and things like that. So that is discussed in Shabbos. And even though it's not meaningful, maybe it has meaning to people, etc. But and therefore you'd be allowed to wear it on Shabbos. But this, it just seems to be the same din. It seems to be discussed in two different ways in Hilchos Shabbos versus in Yeridaya. By the way, the Shach quotes the idea of the Asur Laharbos Besicha, the same reasoning that the Rambam gave, because you're increasing in your speech. Fine. Take a look at the Vilna Gaon now. The Vilna Gaon is Yud Gimel. Famous Kufayin Tes Yud Gimel Vilna Gaon. So, HaRambam, so even though in the Vilna Gaon is saying, yeah, and that's what we learn from the So, b'chein kasev b'peir shamishnu l'peraktal devos kochavim. Also, the fourth parak of Avodazara. Aval, kol abayim acharav, chok olav. But everybody who came after the Rambam argues on him. Sherei harbe lachashim nemru b'gemara. There's plenty of magic tricks and incantations that are discussed in the Gemara. V'hu nimshach, and he, the Rambam, was influenced by hafilosafia, by the philosophers. V'lachein kasev shekshafim v'shemos v'lachshim v'sar v'kemiyos hakol hu sheker. And that's why the Rambam wrote that all these things are lies. Aval kvar hachulosan al kidkado. But we've already turned it on its face. Sherei matzinu harbe masios v'gemara. Al pishmos v'kshafim, shemos v'kshafim. That we see plenty of examples in the Gemara where they use names and magic. And then it goes ahead and gives five, six examples. I didn't have a chance to look them up. Lamanikra Shemon Kshafim. Vehatora Heida Viyu Taninim. And not only that, I skipped those examples, and then he continues on and says, and the Torah gives testimony about the snakes. And look at the Zohar Sham. V'chein Kamiyin V'harbi Makomos V'lachshim Rabo Milispar. And we have Kamiyos that are discussed in many places and other types of whispers that are too many to mention.
He's talking about the snakes with
cartoon,
right?
Yeah.
Turn their rods into
snakes. Right. Vas philosophia, and the philosophers, what do? They take these Gemaras and they discuss them all b'derech halitzui in ways of litzah, like
from lates to scoff.
Yeah, I thought it was like they give different interpretations, but yeah, an idea. V'lakor osam mi pashtan, they remove them from their pshat. V'chas v'shalom eini mamin behem, that we shouldn't believe in them. V'lo mehem v'lo mehamona el kol hadvarim heim kipashtan, all the things should be understood simply. El shiyesh, sorry. It should be understood simply, but there's also a panimios, an inner sense to these things. There's a deeper idea behind these things. Lo panimios shabali philosophia, not what they claim, right? Shehem chitzonios elishel baliemas. Not what the philosophers say, but they're outside, but rather based on those that are baliemas, they're the ones that we're supposed to believe. So this is the famous Vilna Gaon that everybody quotes whenever everyone talks about the Rambam's rationalism. So this is the Vilna Gaon that they quote, that the Vilna Gaon takes the very sharp attack of saying he was influenced by the philosophers, that's A, and B, the idea that he says that everybody else disagrees with the Rambam. So, yeah, it's important to realize everybody else might disagree with the Rambam, but the Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rambam. Right? So the Vilna Gaon is saying, we shouldn't pass them like it. We should read, we shouldn't pass them like that. That's simply just saying that it's all fake, but this is ground zero for that machlokas.
So the concept of, let's say, I want to get the scorpions away from me, so I'm not allowed to do it because it's some magical practice. If it works, it doesn't help.
The Rambam would say it's still magical, it's still a fake practice. Others would say, no, it did help, but it wasn't mutter, unless there was a danger.
It wasn't mutter because it's magic.
Right. Of course, if you would ask Rashi would say, well, if it's not causing any danger, so it won't do anything.
If you had some bait you could put out that would drag them all away from you, that would be
bait's not magic.
That wouldn't be magic. Okay.
That would be okay.
Shabbos, what do you call
it? Yeah, I mean, it's the issues of resolving whether it is or isn't Darkei Amori. So we had a little bit of that already. There's a little bit more of that coming as well. It's an issue. I mean, Rabbi discussing something else from Reisman on one of his tapes said when he right when he got married, they didn't have children for three years, something, some significant amount of time they didn't have children. And somebody told him that you should make some kind of potion. Give the ingredients, make this type of potion, and that will let the person have, that will, and your wife should drink it, and you'll have children. So he said, he asked Rav Pam what to do. Rav Pam said, is there any explanation that this should work with Derech HaTeva? So he said, no. So Rav Pam said, so don't do it. You shouldn't do it. And lo and behold, he said, by the time my oldest son was bar mitzvah, we already had seven other children as well. Or some high number like that. But he said that the reason a lot of these things start is that, let's say my wife would have drank it, and then she would have become pregnant. So how would she become pregnant? Once she drank that stuff. And now it's Rabbi Reisman's wife drinks this stuff in order to get pregnant. So everybody else. That's how these things get going.
But sometimes it's, like someone asked Chaim Tonyevsky, he says, all I have is girls. What can I do to have a boy? He says, what do you use for? No. He says, grape juice. He says, try wine. And he apparently believes that if you drink wine, you'll have boys, more like that boys. Now, my sons-in-law drink wine, and my son drinks wine, and they all have boys, no girls. So, I don't know. And I don't have an explanation for that, whatever. Coming from Phnemius and not from Titulus.
Okay, there also could be that there's a Makor in Chazal.
Right.
he was saying this particular thing has no Makor in Chazal, and there's no Derech HaTeva, so what do we call that? We call that a joke. Okay. So, alright, so Zion. So Zion here in Shulchan Aruch says, Misha wrote from Achrav, Nachash Va'achrav, Mutter L'chaber, Kadesh L'yaziku. So he does, however, and this, I guess, is the sheet of the Rambam, of Rashi, although, oh, there it is. You're allowed to do it so that they don't damage you. Right, so is that Rashi's pshat? Yeah, he.
Not the Rambam.
Yes, yeah, so he's not quoting. So he's not quoting Rashi from the Gemara in later on. He's quoting a Rashi from earlier from the Rashi Daf Samachay, where it's clearly is talking about incantations. He says that if there is a danger involved, so you're allowed to do it. Does the Rambam disagree with that? So I don't think the Rambam mentions this.
No, but how would the Rambam rationalize this?
How would the Rambam rationalize it? That you're yelling at it to get away.
You do this magic.
So you're still doing it. I mean, the Rambam is not nobody is saying whether this stuff works or not. They're just saying whether you're allowed to try it or not.
The Rambam says it doesn't work.
Yeah, but the Rambam might.
So why would you want to do it?
Well, it makes you feel better. Or maybe yelling anything will keep these animals away from you, or maybe whispering incantations quietly will help it get away from you, because if you would yell loudly, send it would know to yell at you, to run after you, or something along those lines. I don't think this line is in the Rambam.
It just seems to me that he's taking the other side here, because he says Kadesh lo yaziku, the Rambam will probably not agree from everything I've seen, but that won't injure.
Okay, fine.
Whispers.
All right, good diuk. Okay. I hear.
He seems to be on the fence a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, because this implies that it does work.
Right, exactly.
Right.
But I asked a question.
But realize, in the last line, the last thing that he said in Sif Vav was quote from the Ram, even though it doesn't work.
Right.
So, okay, I hear what you're saying. You're allowed to do it so that they don't damage you. All right. You have to figure out that read. So it says the shaft. So why are you allowed to do it so that they don't damage you? So the shaft says the shaft says very simple. There's three things that you're not allowed to do even if they're dangerous, and those are the big three. And this is not one of the big three. This is something else. So therefore, it's going to be mutter. That's the pshat and the shach. Now the Taz at first glance seems to be saying the same thing, but then you look a little carefully. He's saying a little bit more than that. He says the ein lacha the Taz and Siv Dalet. He says the ein lacha davar she'omed bifnei pikuach nefesh, that there's nothing that stands in the way of pikuach nefesh. Mashma kan, we learn from here. We learn from here that if pikuach nefesh was taloi in doing an avera, and if you did the avera, you'd be able to save yourself. You'd be allowed to do it. Miatzma avera ahi kemo hacha sha'al yedei she'over alav the chover chever matzalatzma. As we see from here, because you're saving yourself, you're allowed to. Because you're doing, you're saving yourself, you're allowed to do this. So in the initial Savram, he points out, that's an interesting little tidbit that he added in there. Mashma kan, we learn from here. Now we, already in this year, learned Siman Kuflin Zayin. And Siman Kuflin Zayin, that's where this stuff is discussed. The idea of Bikoch Le'ed. And we never came across, it's based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin HaSamach Vav that the guy's allowed to do incantations to get a snake away from him. That's how you know that Bikoch Le'ed is Dovah Kol Torah Kula. There are other limudim in the Gemara that learn it explicitly. Right? The Gemara is in Yuma about B'chai Bahem, or the Gemara is about specifically those, the idea you're allowed to eat things that aren't kosher when you're Mishachzu Kardaikos, if you have something that is bad. Why is the Taz jumping in and saying, and you learn from here that you see that it should be okay? So what does one get from here? So in the Nishmas Avram, he points out this machlokas, and he says that what the Taz, he quotes somebody, he quotes the Atze Halavona. Oh, Atze Halavona is here on the bottom of the page. Atze Halavona here is on the bottom of the page.
I don't think
you probably have it in your Hagos Fitzyuna. The Atze Halavona. It's okay. We don't have to. I wasn't going to do it inside. The Atze Halavona claims
it's
on the bottom of the page, but the Atze Halavona. Give it a try. The Atzei Levona says, so if you look in the beginning, it says, Mutul Chaber, Ayin Taz, Mashma Kan, Deim, Bikuach Nefesh, Tali Bavir, Bechuli, Bechor Akasha. Right? My Kamashvalon, what's this coming to tell us? The Vadi Mutul Lesso Sevir, with Bikuach Nefesh, Hadocha, Af Shabbos, Achamura. Umal Lichiach Mekan, what are we learning specifically from here? So when you read the Kavanah Sataz, the Af Begimel Averos, the Harig Val Yavar, even the big three Averos, it's only if the non-Jew is trying to get you to violate the din. He's not trying to get you to violate the din. He just made a gezeira that includes bikuach nefesh. And you can save yourself if you do such an avera. As we find that Esther did it. Right? What did Esther do? Esther violated Gilui Arayos in order to save herself. After Haisa Ishas Ish, Uvasa Achakach Miritzona Achashverish Vishvil Atzalos Nefashas Yisrael Zeshari. That's okay. The Einza Bechlal Yehorg Val Yavor came into Eina Ovi Kulchavim Machriach Lekach. That's not including Gilui Arayos. Or the that's not including the Horig Val Yavor version of Gilui Arayos, because that's not what the non-Jew had in mind. The Mutlo Lassos came the Atzmo Aveira Hahi, that you're allowed to do that Aveira. Velosulomer Kamo Bechober Chever Osami Atzmo Lahatzel, you could do that to save yourself. If you're doing it on your own, and not like the Shach says, the Shach is the big macher on this. So this Asi Elvon is all of a sudden a huge kula. Right? All of a sudden he has. It's also a huge chiddush, yes.
That tells you to kill somebody.
So here the Nishmas of Ram, he does quote. He quotes. Whether this does apply to anything other than Gilui Arayos. I mean, does it mean that you're allowed to also do Gilui Avodah Zarah and Shvichas Damim? So that perhaps not. And perhaps the reason for that is because the way the three are learned out, they're all learned out independently by different drushas. So it could be that you would be able to docha this drush, but not be able to docha those drushas. So that's A. B is that we probably don't pass in that way. That because the Darkei Tshuva expresses surprise at the Atzei Halavonan, for the Gemara and Poskim all rule that one may not set aside any of the three cardinal sins, even in such a situation of danger to life. Rav Arbach wrote to me that although what the Atzei Halavonan wrote is somewhat surprising, he believes that when the Gemara says that Esther only transgressed Gilui Arayos passively, it was only because what she did was public knowledge. Were it not for her being entirely passive, she would have been obligated to suffer martyrdom even to avoid tying her shoelaces the way idolaters do. That right, he's saying that the reason. And why was Esther allowed to do it? Esther was allowed to do it because she was Karka Olam, and that's why she, and that's why it was okay. If it wasn't going to be Karka Olam, so then it would have been a problem.
Did he say she wasn't public knowledge, or she was?
Well, he has it in. I'm not sure why that's relevant. So again, Esther only transgressed Gilui Arayos passively. It was only because what she did was public knowledge.
Was so therefore it had to be passive.
But if it wasn't entirely passive, she would have had to suffer martyrdom. But it doesn't say about if it was private. I'm not sure why the public knowledge part is relevant.
It makes it worse.
I understand it makes it worse, but still, Darts Alvona say, yeah, exactly. That's the problem. The problem was that it was public knowledge. Well, the public knowledge, it would have been mutter, right? But I don't believe that we would pass it that way, although I've not had to work on that on the Maisa. The second issue that he deals with here is that he said the Binyan Sion gives a different idea of what the Taz is adding here. That all of the other examples that are mentioned in the Gemara, you have to work them out one by one. But the example that he gives when one was attacked by one has a certain disease and he needs to eat something not kosher in order to save himself from the disease. So that's a little bit different than this case. Why is that different than this case? Because in the case of the disease, you already have the disease. So the question is, can I eat something not kosher in order to heal myself from the disease? In this case, you're not actually afflicted yet. So he says that maybe that's what the Taz is adding in here. The Taz is adding that I already knew that you're allowed to do a virus in order to save yourself. That's when you're already afflicted. This Gemara said from here we see that even before you're afflicted, you're allowed to save yourself. Now, you are already a little afflicted here in that you're being chased by a snake. You're being chased by a scorpion, even though you haven't yet been bit yet. But nevertheless, that's his chiddush. So he then goes on and So the Nishmas Avram then suggests the following idea. What if a person is having an elective surgery under general anesthesia at a certain point? Right? So he's at some point he's got a date scheduled. We're going to have on Thursday. I'm going to have this certain thing under general anesthesia. And then all of a sudden on Shabbos something happens and you're thrown into the emergency room. You're put under anesthesia and for some other operation that you need. That's an emergency. You're being docha Shabbos. So once you're already under general anesthesia, can you then do the other operation that wasn't pikuach nefesh? That's the shaila. I mean, now you're already under general anesthesia, so going under twice, every time you go under, that's a sakana. That's already considered a risk. So if you, so is that true? Now, I don't know if that's, I've heard that before, that's the rubric. You're put under general anesthesia, so that's already considered sakana nefeshes. He asked me with the neck thing that he had. Does he have Sibir Chasa Gomel now? Because he had a problem with his neck. So he said, I didn't feel that. He said, first of all, I'm an anesthesiologist. This is what I do for a living. And second of all, what, every time a person has a colonoscopy, they say Sibir Chasa Gomel when they come back. Right? I don't think that's the minhag. So I tend to agree with him, but he seems to be going under the assumption that going under general anesthesia is already in danger. So now that you're already under, so to speak, can you then go and do the secondary surgery even on Shabbos? So he suggested, yes, that since the laws of Shabbos are set aside not only for life-threatening situations, but also to prevent such a situation in the future. So by doing the operation now, you're avoiding the dangerous situation in the future. That's his chiddush. So he said Rav Norworth agreed with him, the Orthodox Jewish Hasidus agreed with him, and he said, he asked Rav Shlomo Zalman, and Rav Shlomo Zalman said, well, you should, like, you know, it's not so simple. You have to, like, cheshbon it out whether it's really, they're really saving or not. I mean, look around. I don't know if the general anesthesia is really a good gauge as to whether that's really, in the year 2000, where are we now? 2016 still, whether that's really considered a gauge of being pikuach nefesh or not. But that is the suggestion put forward. Fine.
There's a finite probability, I'm sure, that you won't wake up.
Yeah.
Question is, what constitutes it? You know,
right, so a person...
I bet if I cross the street, there's a finite probability.
Yes, so...
Texting is going to run me over.
Or even somebody who's not texting might run you over. That is true, but we consider things. First of all, there's the idea of normal activities is not normal activity. It's considered normal activity to cross the street. It's not considered normal activity to go under general anesthesia, unless it is considered a normal activity to go under general anesthesia. It also goes as to whether, also you go into some percentages of whether a person is nervous, be it chain or matzoi, and then finally, does a person feel nervous? So, if a person is an anesthesiologist, and that's what they do for a living, so they probably don't feel so nervous. Other people might feel a little bit more nervous. So I just think that you would say that.
Colonoscopy, they're not cutting anything, except they cut out a polyp, maybe, and it's a small thing, but it's not just it's the whole surgery. It's
right, but that wasn't really... The dangerous... That's not really the dangerous part. The dangerous part, if there's any dangerous part, I think it is... At least that doctor was suggesting to me that the only dangerous part of that surgery, the most dangerous part of that surgery, was the anesthesia. So, is that question is out there. All right, the next part of that, what's dark EMRE, what's not dark EMRE, amulets and stuff, is we'll discuss that next week.
So, go ahead.